We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Penguins winners last night in New York. Quick turnaround in New Jersey to play the Devils tonight. Looks like Casey DeSmith will be in net. Still waiting for injured Penguins to return to the lineup, like Evgeny Malkin, Brandon Tanev, Teddy Bluger. It's your headline brought to you by Dollar Bank. Get low home equity loan rates at dollar.bank. The NHL trade deadline is on Monday. Let's go to the fan hotline brought to you by the workers' compensation of law firm of Hall & Capitis. Penguins insider from The Athletic, Rob Rossi. Rob, are you an insomniac?
I'm sorry? Am I an insomniac? Is
yes.
That what you asked me?
Yes.
Well, I mean, it kind of comes part and parcel with my ADHD and anxiety. So one of the no fun things about mental illness is that usually the people that have the type that I have don't sleep very well. So.
Because I feel like we've talked. Well, I didn't mean it as a negative. You've sent texts and it's been out in the open that have said, "Well, I haven't slept in the last 24 hours," and I thought it was a job related thing. I thought it was because you were burning the midnight oil over GM changes and beating down bushes for trades. I didn't mean to air you out personally and pry into your.
No. I'm happy to. I don't run from my mental illnesses. And yeah, you should know if you got anybody in your life with ADHD or anxiety, they probably don't sleep very well. So be kind to them.
But are you a coffee drinker too? Are you a guy that?
No, I don't drink coffee. I have not drank coffee. I don't really drink coffee or liquor or beer anymore. I'm kind of like no fun. But no, I can't drink coffee. But when I did drink coffee, it doesn't have any effect on me because stimulants don't really affect people with ADHD the way they do normal people.
I didn't know that.
Our dopamine levels are lower. So, I could always drink probably like 3 cups of coffee before bed and it wouldn't affect my sleep one way or the other. But I'm not burning the midnight oil, chasing bushes or whatever you're talking. Whatever the analogy I'm screwing up there is because there's just nothing happening. I mean, it's been the easiest and most dreadful deadline of my tenure covering the team. Part of that's just because there's not a whole lot that the Penguins can really do. I think part of that's also because, you know, I do get the sense that Ron Hextall and Ryan Burke, even though they might like a certain type of piece, they know that piece might not be available. Mm-hmm. And also, there's something to be said about this team has been really good the last 2 months. And do you want to mess with that chemistry when we've seen in the past that can hurt?
How much do they like this team that they have? That's kind of where I was going to go, Rob, because even when I've seen the Penguins have teams that ended up winning Stanley Cups that were playing really well at a certain point in the year, it felt like it feels to me like they've always added something, even if it's almost for the sake of adding something. So do they feel good enough to really stand pat?
Yeah, I think they do, especially because, you know, they're kind of handcuffed by the fact that, you know, they don't have a whole lot of assets that they can trade. And because of that, they don't really willing to part with them. So now you're talking about a hockey trade, and given the injuries this team has sustained this year, do you really want a chance of sort of subtracting from your team on a hope that a certain player is going to bring something? I mean, I think also you have to look at the fact that They've played the Capitals, the Islanders, and the Bruins pretty well this year. I mean, the Bruins are probably the one team that maybe they haven't played as well, but, I mean, there have been a couple games where the Penguins really looked like they were taking it to Boston. So I think they like their chances in this division. And, you know, frankly, because the playoff format is what it is, and you don't really know who you might be sort of looking ahead to in a conference final or a Final Four, as it would be this year, I think that probably changes the way a lot of teams are looking at things, because you just don't know, because of these divisional playoffs, what it's going to be once the second round is over.
Rob, I see that TSN sent out a press release that said Jim Rutherford is going to be a special contributor to the trade deadline. Coverage.
You're going to make the trades for other teams? You might need that.
Yeah, I am that now. I wish we could get that coverage here in Pittsburgh, because I would love to hear him be, if he's as candid as he was in his role as GM, that'll make for entertaining conversation on Monday. What's the latest you've heard on what happened there? Anything new in the last month or so since it happened about Rutherford's departure that you could tell us about?
No, I mean, I still go back to what I heard was that, you know, Jim perceived things to be one way and the Penguins perceived them to be another, and that it revolved around Jim feeling like, you know, for some reason his authority was being questioned or challenged, and, you know, the Penguins didn't feel that was the case. Now, I mean, I go back to this. I don't know what the Penguins, if Jim believes the Penguins denied him the opportunity to do some things, I don't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And if he believes it's because they didn't give him a contract extension, it's my understanding that they were always of the mindset, because of the pandemic, that they weren't going to do extensions for non-players during the season. So I don't know. You know, the one thing I've never heard from with Jim, I haven't had a chance to ask him about this, is whether he had designs on being the president of hockey operations. Because it does seem like that's something the Penguins were thinking about doing even as far as last summer. And if that's something he wanted to do, but I don't know. I mean, even if he did, I don't know that A, they told him he couldn't, and B, how would that work when you're the president of hockey operations was your former GM? I mean, we've seen in Philadelphia that doesn't always work real well.
Yeah.
Are they in better hands with Hextall and Burke than they would have been moving forward, just this year and beyond, than they would have been with Rutherford, in your opinion?
I think so. If nothing else, I think they're going to have more of an emphasis, an actual emphasis on analytics. What they're allowing Sam Ventura to do with his analytics department is, I think, going to really be a boon to the Penguins. I think Hextall, you know, it's hard to look at a lot of what he did in Philadelphia and say, boy, he made mistakes with the moves he made. You know, you can criticize maybe some other areas, but he seemed to build a pretty solid organization there, and acquire a good bit of talent. So, you know, I do think the Penguins were asking almost the impossible, right? They want to stay a contender while also, you know, rebuilding. And I think Hextall has the right approach to do that. I think he's going to be very interested once this offseason ends, and based off what I've heard anyway from talking to some people around the league, in trying to acquire draft picks and trying to acquire some talent for the organization. And I do think Rutherford had an attachment to some people that, you know, probably wasn't going to benefit the Penguins short term or long term.
People meaning players or in the front office or both?
I think players. He seemed to, at the end, it's weird, right? I mean, he seemed to hold on to guys maybe too long, as opposed to like get rid of them before the time was right. And I'm not talking about like the Evgeny Malkins and the Chris Letangs of the world, because again, those things always come down to ownership, not management. Those are ownership calls. But I mean, just look at Matt Murray. I mean, the time to move Matt Murray was not last season, or not last offseason. It was the offseason before that, and they couldn't figure out what they wanted to do with him back then. I think you look at a guy like Justin Schultz, the same thing. The time to move on with him was going into the last year of his contract, not after it. I think the Penguins didn't want to repeat those mistakes. I think they also wanted to get away from maybe committing too much too soon to players. And I mean, look, John Marino, I think, is going to be a wonderful hockey player in this league. And I'm a fan of Marcus Pettersson, but to give either of those players the length of term that Rutherford did was totally unnecessary at the time those contracts were done, and did nothing for the whole notion that they were trying to win now. Because why do you care about what players are making 3 or 4 years from now in terms of being a some sort of a discount if you're paying them too much early in those deals?
Right.
Rob, they've now said, I think Mike Sullivan has said, other guys have said that, you know, Radim Zahorna, I mean, we saw him, you know, you're getting the spiel like, we saw this guy before the season started and he opened some people's eyes with the way he skates and all that stuff. Are they full of it when they say that? Are they stunned that this guy has so far come out of the chute and looked like a pretty good asset for them in a short sample?
I think coaches can always convince themselves they see something in a player. Especially a player of that size, right? But, I mean, we heard that last year about Sam Lafferty, too, right? And, I mean, Sam Lafferty is a fringe player in this league. I think coaches are always in the position where they have to sort of try to talk up young players to not only keep their confidence, but to build their confidence. And, you know, I don't put a lot of stock into that. It's, you know, I've two rules, basically. I don't listen when a coach talks about a younger player until the younger player is established. And I never care about what a person did in training camp, because the only way I ever care about something in training camp is if a player looks like he's absolutely out of shape. Other than that, it doesn't matter.
Wow. Okay. How about the injuries, Rob? Are they confident on Tanev, Malkin, Bluger that, you know, these are not things that are going to hamper these guys once, you know, the real bullets are flying in May?
I can speak to Malkin and Bluger, and the answer is yes, they're confident that they'll be able to be back, if not at, you know, 100%. I don't know that any player is 100% going into the playoffs,
sure.
But, you know, not severely limited or not limited at all by anything. I don't know about Tanev, because his injury is so interesting, right? I mean, is it the same injury as the one he had before? Is it a different upper body injury? He plays a type of style that you would think lends itself to being a little bit tougher for him to be as effective. But I mean, I also think the guy, and I mean this in a nice way, you know, he's got a borderline savageness to him. And I think that will go a long way. I think if, you know, that guy could have, and I don't say he does, but that guy could have a separated shoulder. And if you could just pop it back in, I think he'd go out there and try to play. He's just that kind of hockey sick.
Oh, so he's tough like Tony Finau, the golfer.
Yes, and that's what they're all trying to be, clearly.
Well, you know that. You know why I bring up that name. He's the guy that dislocated his ankle, popped it back in right on the course, and
yes,
kept on playing.
Rob is watching the Masters and taking copious notes the entire time that it's going on.
Chris, I have never actually – I don't know that I've watched the Masters more than, like, if my late grandfather was watching it when it was on Easter Sunday. I don't think I've ever really watched a round.
Wow.
I hate golf.
Yes.
Golf makes people happy. You know what I think about that.
You hate most things.
You hate people. You hate golf because it is a vehicle to create that which you may hate most, which is happy people.
Rob, give us something you like.
It's also a classist, elitist, borderline racist sport. But we'll get away from that.
Give us something you like. And it doesn't have to be on a serious note. Give us something like a little. Something that most people would take for granted that Rob Rossi finds, you know, splendor in, for example, something like that.
I love cutting grass. It brings me zen.
Well, they do that in golf.
Well, no, they don't. The groundskeepers do. I love actually cutting grass. Now, I'm bad at it because I'm colorblind, so often there's like whole swaths that I just miss the first go round. But I really enjoy cutting grass.
I'm colorblind too, Rob, if it's any consolation.
I'm allergic to everything, so it usually makes me sick. So I don't even know if I can.
So that's like Beethoven being a great composer who was deaf.
Well, not really, because I don't think composing made him sick.
That's true.
Do you think that the Penguins, if they could, would trade their second round pick or P.A. Joseph or one of those guys for like Nick Foligno?
No.
Interesting. They seem to really like Foligno, though, from what – I don't know. Do they?
I just think, I mean, I'll say this, guys. I don't think we realize they are fourth in points percentage.
Mm-hmm.
They're sixth in goals against average. Tied, actually, they're fifth in goals against average, excuse me. Second in goals for and second in regulation wins over the last 2 months. I don't think they want to mess with a whole lot.
Okay.
They're already going to be adding a lot of injured guys back to the lineup in a very little bit of time.
Yep.
I think they feel like they match up pretty well with, again, the teams they would have to play in the first two rounds. I think they feel like they are tough matchups for those teams. And they're really cognizant that maybe last year the mistake was maybe they brought in too many people.
Gotcha. All right, Rob, great stuff today. We loved catching up with you, buddy.
All right. I wish I could say I like that, but Mueller sometimes brings me down.
Bye, Rob. Oh, man. He loves cutting grass, but it makes him sick, and he's not good at it because he's colorblind. If that's not the full Rob Rossi experience in a nutshell, I don't know what is.
He just described himself as a person in one sentence. Perfectly.
Yeah, here I am thinking every time I've talked to Rob about like trade deadline and big news events, he's just completely obsessed with it and never sleeps. And it just goes down a very, very, very serious.
The weird thing with Rob is he took it down a very serious path, and I never feel like it would be as mortifying as it would if you said it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's some sort of gallows humor there with Rob that makes it
like
easier to recover.
Like if I said
to
it to Starkey or something.
It's just anybody almost, even people we know pretty well. Rob is a unique
horse
animal.
Alert, major horse alert.
Thank you, Joe. Follow us on Twitter at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one key dealer. Visit them at ShorkeyKia.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.